Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
You know, it seems to me that there are many among us who have more confidence in their ability or inability to not stop sinning than they do in the power of the living God to forgive them afresh and to establish them in His righteousness to overcome all sin victoriously. You know, Jesus asked a question. He says, "Where is your faith?" Quote unquote, Luke 8:25. Where is our faith, beloved? Where is our faith? Is it in God or is it in our sin? Are we going to let go and let God? Are we going to say, "Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease"? John 3:30, we should echo and speak forth in prayer from our hearts sincerely to God today with John the beloved Baptist that, "Lord, you declare it," and I mean point to heaven with your heart, and otherwise, if you wish, that's up to you. But God is looking on your heart, and He is calling you, beloved, to answer His call to come unto Him and to say, "Lord, you, from this moment on, this day, you must," it's an absolute imperative in a declaration, "you must increase in me, O God, and I must decrease." And Lord, according to Romans 8:13, I'm asking you by your Holy Ghost to cause me to be subdued, to be crucified with Christ. Romans 8:13 says, "If ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body," how? Through the Holy Spirit. Okay, "you shall live, you shall have life, you shall be in eternal life." Otherwise, you're living in sin and you're living separated from God. That's a Bible 101. If you got sin in your life, when you die, you're going to hell. Doesn't matter if you like that. Doesn't matter if you've never been told that. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? It's death, separation from God. God is holy, 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 and He didn't change His immutable divine nature because He saved high and mighty you or me. Who do we think we are? You see, this is the core problem, perhaps, is that we have the pride of life. It's all about us. It's not about the Savior. We haven't perhaps ever truly repented. And Jesus said, "Except ye repent." He didn't say, "Except you say a prayer." He said, "Now, if you say a prayer and you're truly repenting, that's good. A prayer is just communicating with God, but you've got to repent from your heart and with your words, declaring that Jesus Christ is now the Lord of your life and that you turn from your own way and you're now His. You're no longer your own. You're bought with the price of the blood of a lamb." Amen. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Repentance is an absolute divine essential. The Apostle Paul said that God commandeth all men everywhere to do what? To repent. Okay, so when you repent, you begin to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Jesus. You turn from the world. You turn all the way to God is what you do, and away from the world. You can't serve both God and money. You can't serve God and mammon or the world or the world system. You've got to make a choice. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is," definitive, "against me." If you're not with Christ, there is no neutral ground with God. Matthew 12:30, Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me." Now, let me ask you, friend, is today your day to go to the Lord in prayer, to lift up your hands and your heart, and to get alone with God and say, "Lord, from this day forward, I am all yours, and I know you're all mine, Lord. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. I want you to say that prayerfully. Declare it each morning, the rest of this week, and throughout the weekend, beloved. I want you to say that out loud to God from your heart. Speak his word back to him. Also, Colossians 3:3. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, I don't know about you, but that's comforting words to me, because I done made a mess in my past of my life and saw exactly how sin just ran me right straight into the ditch of destruction, of misery, of shame, of guilt. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and charge you more than you want to pay. The wages of sin is death. It's separation. Adam and Eve, go back to the garden. They learned right away, up front, they were in perfect communion with God. There was no sin in the human family on the earth. And then they sinned against him, and they realized that the wages of sin is death. God wasn't kidding. God said, if you sin against me, you shall surely die. Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. Do yourself a favor and get this education, because without it, you don't have any foundation in the kingdom of Christ. Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. Satan said, you shall not surely die. This is the origins of the once saved, always saved, eternal security lie from hell, and nobody can refute it. And I've been doing this for 40 years now, preaching this gospel with that message right there, and no one is going to take me up. And if you want to, you want to be the first, let's do it. We'll do a public debate, and you will get skunked by the word of God itself, because you cannot refute what we see right there in Genesis and throughout the scripture, that the wages of sin is death. It's separation. Adam and Eve were kicked out of God's presence. How many sins did it take for Adam and Eve to be kicked out of God's presence? Just one. One sin is as good as a million with God, because he is holy, holy, holy. That's his divine nature. He's holy, holy, holy. And anybody who gives you this idea that, first of all, you're okay while you're living in sin and just you're struggling with it. Why is it that you're struggling with it? Because you don't love God. You don't love God. If you love God, you would repent and say, I'm all yours, Lord. I'm no longer my own. And I don't want to be my own, because it's brought me separation from you, first of all, because of the sin of spiritual adultery and idolatry and pride, and because the misery and the shame. God has set it up to make your life so miserable. That is God's dashboard blessing, that you look down at that dashboard and you see that you're running out of gas, you're low on oil, your engine's running hot. What do? You pull over and get it right. God's trying to show you, my friend, through the conviction of your heart, through the shame, through the guilt, through the absolute just miserableness of your life, that you're separated from him. If you're right with God, you have love, you have joy, you have peace, you have what else? Long suffering, right? Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Notice what happens when you get saved. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Here's what's produced in the lives by Christ, in the lives of those who are serving him according to his own stated will. And his stated edict is on his terms, if you will. His terms are what? You got to repent. Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then you got to do what? Deny yourself. Don't pamper yourself or feed yourself and flatter yourself. No, you must deny yourself. That's when you're getting serious with God. That's when you're getting right with God. You've been born again and justified. Now you're saying, Lord, the next step, what is it? And here it is. Jesus said, if any man will follow me, he must do what? If you're going to come after Jesus, you are going to deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Deny self, take up your cross, and follow him daily. That is Luke 9, 23 and 24. That's how you follow Jesus. And the reason why you've never heard this message is because you, my friend, blame it on yourself. You have been a fraud yourself, a counterfeit. You have submitted yourself to false teachers who do not teach the cross. And the cross is at the center of the original gospel. And you are 100% accountable. You have a Bible. That little smidgen of scripture that your pastor throws out there on Sunday mornings from a fake Bible, nonetheless, at your local church, does not suffice anyone other than to deceive them and to mislead them and send them straight into hell. And that's your fault. That was my fault when I submitted myself to crossless wolves. Paul calls them enemies of the cross of Christ in the end of Philippians chapter 3. You've got to repent, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus, looking unto him who is the author and finisher of your faith all the way to the end of your life. You must endure to the end. Matthew 10:22 and 24:13. And let me encourage you to do this. Get with some other believers and ministries that are preaching the cross of Christ, that are using the King James Bible and are talking about holiness and how God, first of all, is holy, 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 and he commands you to be holy, and that he is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. One that is holy and without blame, without blemish, Ephesians 5:25-27. Somebody might say, well, brother, you're saying that you could never, you know, you could get to the place where you never sin. I'm going to say it this way. You don't have to do any sin you've ever committed. That's a choice, first of all. Second of all, if you're real with God, you're going to face God in repentance, in honesty and transparency, because he that covers his sins, he doesn't repent from them, doesn't repent to God and confess them. He that covereth his sins, tries to hide as if that's even possible, to hide from God. It's not. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You're stiff-armed. You have pride. You're in rebellion. You're separated from God, and you're going to hell if you don't repent. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You're not going to prosper. You're cursed. You brought it on yourself. But God says, come unto me. That's what Jesus says. Matthew 11. Okay, so he that covereth his sins, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. I want you to memorize this verse and meditate upon it every day. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses, hello, and forsakes them shall have mercy. Now, when you repent, you're going to confess the sin and you're going to forsake the sin. Otherwise, you didn't really repent. So you don't have to live in sin. The Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. That's a command. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Now, if you're born again and you're crucified with Christ, that means you're abiding. You're going on with Christ. You're continuing in Christ. You didn't backslid or apostatize and depart from the faith, then you're abiding in Christ, and that means you're walking with him on his stated terms. You're choosing to love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You crucify with Christ. He's raising you up out of that death and burial disposition. You see, the kingdom economy is a cross economy. You can't get around it, and you shouldn't be trying to get around it. You should just say, Lord, I just surrender, not my will, but thine be done, Lord. Throw your hands up, give up. That's where God wants you. And let me tell you, you're not going to overcome sin outside of this. There is no victory outside of the cross. The victory is the resurrection life of Christ every day, teeming in you, T-double-E, and richly indwelling you and raising you up and propelling you with momentum every step forward as you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He despised the shame, and now he's raised up forever at the right hand of the Father, where he is seated making intercession for you, helping you and anointing you in the death and burial of self so that he can raise you up. And I'm just going to tell you on personal experience, as I've said before, listen, I started learning the cross a few years ago, and I just put my hands on my head and go, wow, it's unbelievable that I didn't know this message better or hardly ever hear it in the modern church world. And now I'm walking in a place where God is lifting me up, as long as I'm crucified with Christ, that is, and dead and buried with Christ. You know, there can't be a resurrection until there's a death and burial. God is not going to raise you up into his victory your way or any other way. David said, I hate every false way. Every false way leads you into the ditch. That's what deceivers do, using lies and half-truths instead of ministering the truth of the Word of God. The blind lead the blind into the ditch of defeat, and it's ultimately going to cost you your eternal soul if you don't stop your life and say, I repent for real now, Lord God. I'm doing business with you in Jesus' name. You're first in my life. You're first in my time every day. You're first in my treasures when you give me money. You're first in walking with you in the crucified life, dead and buried with Christ. And I know, Lord, that you're reciprocally going to raise me up out of that death and burial posture into your victory. And let me tell you, you're going to be dancing in the rain when you start to see God's hand in your life, because you're just simply doing what he told Moses to do when Moses was building the tabernacle. God made sure over and over, he told him to do it exactly the way I'm telling you to do it. And Moses said, yes, sir, daddy. What, same thing with Noah. Same thing. Noah built the ark according exactly to the specifications, to the T, that God ordained and spoke to him. And everything worked out. Their salvation was built in that ark, and it saved Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. 8 souls were saved, and that's because they did it, especially Noah, and all of them apparently did it God's way. You're not going to go to eternal glory doing it your way. If you're still holding on to something in this world, you're trying to get something, you're coveting and greedily seeking after something of this fleeting world, you're using all of that heart affection and energy to be an idolater, to commit spiritual adultery. No different than a man's married to a woman and she's looking to other men, or vice versa. A woman's married to a man and he's looking at other women. Are you kidding me? That's adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Exodus chapter 20. That is flat out adultery. That is idolatry, and you must repent and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the first priority of your life, the first love. It's all about who you love, and who you love is a choice. It was no sweat to Jacob to work 7 years for that beautiful Rachel. He loved her. Genesis chapter 29, verse 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they, watch this, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. See, when you have love for God, like Jacob had for Rachel, then his commandments are not grievous to you. They're a joy. You walking in the joy of the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you want to show me that you love me after you repent, go ahead and just do what I say. He's the Almighty. He's the only one that's all wise. James 1:5, if any of you do lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally. And he just gives it generously, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God's not going to turn you away, but you got to go to him. You got to sit on daddy's lap. When's the last time you sat on your daddy's lap? You know, Abba Father, Daddy Father, Romans 8, and told him, Lord Father Jesus, I just want to tell you, I love you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth, this sin-cursed earth, to live a perfect life, to show us the Father, to give us your teachings, to go to that cross, to be crucified for my sins, nailing them to the cross, buried, and Father, you raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. And now you have set your people free. And Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord. And I just want to just sing a song to him. He will be so delighted. There's nothing that does God so much, that blesses his heart more, than when one of his children simply tells him, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for what you did. Grateful to God. Amen. And when you're grateful to God, you'll live like it. You'll give God the first portion of your time, your treasure, your life, and you'll do things his way. And here's what's going to be just a foretaste of glory divine right here on this earth, in this life. You're going to have the fruit of the Holy Ghost, fruit of the Spirit, the result of walking with God on his terms in the crucified life, him raising you up. You're going to be full of what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's Galatians 5, 22 through 24, and let me go ahead and encourage you to memorize verse 24. And they that are Christ, you want to know if you're Christ? What are you doing? Have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You are walking in the cross life. You're not going to heaven because you're not overcoming sin. You're living in sin without the cross. Brother, are you serious? That's what the Bible says. You better reckon with it. Remember, Jesus foretold of what's coming in the judgment. Many are going to be saved. Many, not a few. Many that he saved are going to be saying, whoa, Lord, I cast out devils. Man, I prophesied. I did many wonderful work. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Matthew chapter 7. They're going to be told to depart from him. They're going to be terminated into the bowels of eternal damnation because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Listen to this. And Samuel says, see, Samuel did things his way. He was one of them Burger King guys. I did it my way. Frank Sinatra sung his way all the way into the bowels of eternal damnation, declaring his rebellion for all the world to hear. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying? He's not interested in your outward sacrifice, your religiosity or mere form of godliness. 2 Timothy 3:5. For example, so many people are eager to go to a church building on Sunday morning, but they're not walking with Jesus in the crucified life on a daily basis. Listen, I told somebody this week, you're not looking, ma'am, as Christian sister, for some man that goes to church. You're looking for a disciple of Christ. Somebody that walks in the crucified life every day rejoicing in the Lord. She looked at me like a cow at a new gate, as they say. Regrettably, she's never heard that. A godly woman isn't looking for a man who simply is a church member or a goer. A truly born-again, God-fearing woman is living and walking out biblical womanhood and is looking for a man who lives and walks in the Spirit with Christ daily. He's crucified with Christ. He's a humble, obedient servant of the Lord. Amen. He's being raised up by God every day. He's not just some church goer. The vast majority of people that go to church are going straight to hell. They're not doing things God's way, just like Saul. David did things God's way. He waited his time. He stayed out in that pasture. He worshiped God and took care of those sheep. And when the time was come, God raised him up to be the king of Israel, the greatest one ever. And there we see the cross again, friends. The death, burial, and resurrection. David was only raised up after he humbled himself and was crucified with Christ, doing the menial task of being a shepherd boy, tending to sheep, seeking God, worshiping him, singing unto the Lord, and walking in the Spirit. And God rewarded him with raising him up to be the king of Israel. Okay, so God says that these sacrifices, these outward sacrifices that apparently Saul was continuing to offer, they meant nothing to God. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Of course, the answer is no. Behold, to obey. That's the O word that people have avoided. You're never going to hear obey God. You're never going to hear repent, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Or you're not following him on his terms and you're going to hell. When's the last time your pastor told you that? Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, you're still supporting that. You're part of it, and you're going to go to hell with him, according to 2 John 10 and 11, because you're bidding Godspeed to a false prophet and a false gospel. It doesn't matter if he's a family friend from your childhood. It doesn't matter if he has a seminary degree. It doesn't matter if he's a nice, sweet man. No, you're rebelling against God by sitting under a false gospel and bidding Godspeed to an accursed wolf who is perpetrating that false gospel. You're going to obey God or you're going to perish. So, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. This is 1 Samuel 15:22. Go read about Saul's rebellion and compare that to the man who superseded him, and that would be David, King David, as God took Saul out of kingship, removed him, and replaced him. And God's going to do that with any of us who are in need of repentance and yet are in rebellion and unrepentant. Just like he said, with Esther, Esther 4:14, that he was going to replace her and there was going to be destruction come on her and her family if she didn't obey God on his stated terms. Well, in Jesus' name, it was a blessing that Esther chose to do things God's way. Amen. And Israel was delivered as a result. But God said he was going to replace her. That means he was going to bring somebody else to bring deliverance to Israel, his people, if she didn't obey. You're not irreplaceable, my friend. I'm not irreplaceable. Who do we think we are? It's time to repent and get on our face before a holy God with fasting and prayer. And when's the last time you heard a good message on fasting and prayer? From the Bible, of course. By the way, on safeguardyoursoul.com, we have a category drop-down menu on the right side of the desktop version, and you can look up F for fasting and it'll pop right up. We have a category, a loaded category on fasting and prayer, which is sure to exhort and encourage you in your walk with Christ, doing it his way and no other. God's people are not celebrities, we are servants. Matthew chapter 20, verse 24 through 28. In that passage, Jesus said he came to serve and not to be served, and that we are to do the same. And so, friend, if you're not hearing in your local church the biblical things that we are talking about in this message, apparently you are going to a false church, which is preaching another gospel, a false gospel, Galatians 1, 6 through 8. They're the ministers of Satan, 2 Corinthians 11. Because they're not teaching the essential cross of the original gospel, which is essential to the death and burial, the vanquishing of self, so that Christ is reigning in our lives instead of sin, Romans chapter 6. So the prophet says, Samuel to Saul, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." You see, if we're not giving our lives over to the Lord in surrender, that's really what the cross life is, then that means that we are doing things our own way instead of living by faith, which will always bring forth the fruit of good works and obedience to the Lord. You see, if we are in control of our own lives, that's really witchcraft right there, because witchcraft really can be defined in one word, and that is control. We're either controlling our own lives or surrendering them to the Lord and letting him reign in our daily personal lives. And so rebellion would be saying, "Lord, I've got this," instead of saying, "Lord, you've got this, and into your hands I commend my spirit. Not my will, but thine be done, O Lord." Again, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou, Saul, hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And friends, if we reject the word of the Lord, we're going to be rejected, not only from being used by God, but also for being in his eternal kingdom. "He hath also rejected thee from being king." And so God would call us to fresh repentance, to return to him. Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. He says what? "Return, O Israel," my people that is, "return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." There it is again. You have fallen by your iniquity. How do you fall away from God? Your sin. You can't justify sin when you're dealing with a God that's holy, holy, holy. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities," your sins, "have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. "The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die," be separated from God, Ezekiel 18, 4. And God's saying, return, that's synonymous with repent. Return, what does that mean? Return again, just do it afresh, forget the past, return. He's not trying to get rid of you, he's not willing that you perish. He loves you, he gave his only begotten son for your life, to save you, but you have to do it his way. Look, go read the Pentateuch again, the writings of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy and look at how many times God talks about his people just doing it his way, according to his oracles, his written word. O Israel, return unto the Lord your God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Now here's what you do. You go before God in repentance. You take with you words, take words of confession of your sin, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us, or receive me graciously, Lord, through the blood of a lamb afresh. That's what God's calling people to do right now. If you answer that call of God and you actually go before the Lord in repentance, your life is going to be blessed. Otherwise, if our lives are not blessed, surely they are cursed, and we do that to ourselves, beloved. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. You can't escape from it. But he blesses the habitation of the just. Verse 35. This is Proverbs 3, 33 and 35. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Here's the death, burial, and resurrection right here as we see it throughout Scripture. The wise shall inherit glory. Notice death, burial, and resurrection. Inheriting glory is the raising up, the resurrection into eternal glory with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the body of Christ. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Proverbs 3, 35.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all Scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.